From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
With the warmer weather here, it would be awful tempting to load up the kids and the family dog and head to the cottage. But don't, even if you get the go-ahead to go. Senior health officials in the province have been stressing how important it is that we don't head north until the COVID-19 pandemic is passed. Not slowed down, but passed. Judging by my many years living on the shores of Baptiste Lake near Bancroft, I know the impact of just the normal summer influx of cottagers had on the local hospital. There is normally only one nurse in triage and one doctor in ER, and he or she is usually an import from Ottawa because local doctors are just too overwhelmed by their own patient rosters to take rotation in a busy ER situation. A twisted ankle or a fishing hook jammed into a thumb can result in hours of waiting until your turn comes around. Now throw COVID-19 into the mix, and no rural hospital can handle the demand if something goes wrong. They simply just can't. Besides, look at it this way. The black flies will likely be out in full force and have you trapped in the cottage to avoid being eaten alive the moment you step outdoors. Yes, there are repellents if you buy the ones containing DEET, but do you really want to go through all that just to show your defiance? I tell you what, the younger kids won't thank you. They'll wonder instead why you're torturing them with all these flies. So do yourself a favor. Stay home, be well, and be safe. You can thank me later. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo at your service. And that was Mark Bonikoski. Some great advice. You know, we've been talking about COVID-19 for so long now that we sometimes forget the obvious, and that is that we all know the drill, right? We all know the drill. Keep your hands washed often. Disinfect surfaces, shield your mouth and nose when coughing or sneezing. And of course, the most important part, stay away from each other. But what extra measures can we take to stay healthy and support our immune system to reduce the risk of COVID-19? Well, recently, a number of scientists and doctors have been discussing vitamin D. And for those of us in the outdoors, we know what that is. Good old sunshine. In fact, vitamin D is known as the sunshine vitamin because that's a great source of acquiring vitamin D. It's just going outside and having the sun's rays bounce off of your skin. And to talk to us about that this morning is Dr. Reinhold Veith, who is a retired professor from the University of Toronto. And he is also a scientific advisor for the Vitamin D Society. He's been on the program before. Fascinating gentleman. But now we're going to talk about vitamin D as it pertains to COVID-19. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Nice to talk
to you. How you doing? Hey, welcome back to the program. It's been a while. We looked, I thought it was a couple of years, but it's been 2015 was the last time you were on. So been a while.
Yes. No COVID in those days.
Those days seem a million miles away, don't they? So doctor, first of all, tell us about this vitamin D promoting a healthy immune system and how important that could be today in our fight with COVID.
Yeah, classically, you think of vitamin D as something that's going to cause rickets and potentially, osteoporosis, but vitamin D by itself does nothing. It's simply a kind of a raw material for your body. You get vitamin D naturally by being out in the sun. And one of my perspectives is if you think about human beings, we are not designed to be living in Canada. Like all other apes and monkeys, we are designed to our biology to live in the tropics. And here we are in Canada, living inside, wearing clothes, being away from the sun at high latitudes. In order to make vitamin D, the sun has to be about 45 degrees above the horizon or higher. In other words, look at your shadow. How long is it? Is it as long as you are? Then you're hardly making any vitamin D. Like, at 45 degrees above the horizon, the sun, the UV index is about 3. And as your shadow gets shorter and shorter, the UV index goes higher, and you can make more vitamin D in your skin. So from this time of year on, it's like the optimal season for making the vitamin D that's going to survive you through your whole year. Now, vitamin D, when you think about it in terms of osteoporosis, is one thing, but it does tons of other things. It's simply a raw material that your body uses to make a hormone. And that hormone regulates a number of things aside from, you know, brain function, prostate and breast cancer regulation. It's a factor. It's no cure-all or anything. But in order to work properly, your body needs raw material to make hormones that control things. One thing about sunshine is you can take away the raw material to make this vitamin D-derived hormone, and that's what influences disease risk. I know you went and asked about immunity.
Yes.
You know, vitamin D is something that if it's higher, you seem to be somewhat protected against such things as influenza. And one paper that I was really excited about in the last couple of months came from Wuhan, China. And what they were doing was looking at infants, newborns that were given vitamin D as babies or not, prior to the COVID outbreak. But what was found, if you can, you know, Google pretty well anything I'm talking about here and see the primary literature reference, so you can go, you know, Wuhan, China, influenza, vitamin D, and you'll find it. And the paper I'm telling you is children that were getting vitamin D supplements during their early months were much less likely to end up getting an influenza. Like if they didn't get vitamin D, they would have a respiratory tract infection within 2 months. Those who did receive vitamin D, it took at least 6 months to get their first respiratory tract infection. So you can see a protective effect.
Yeah.
If you look at the news reports, if you look up news reports on vitamin D, COVID, there are some recent publications. But the problem with recent publications is right now in this COVID era, scientists are so excited to get their papers known to the public that they're putting them on what I consider as basically a scientific bulletin board. You're free to publish on this bulletin board without anybody actually critiquing it before it ends up being published. And some of the news reports that you get nowadays, for example, if it were vitamin D and, you know, prevents mortality from COVID, that kind of paper is not rigorously assessed. And I would contend that some people publish it just to get their publication out fast and say, hey, I got something. But it's not necessarily a good paper. So you have to take the stuff with a grain of salt. Yeah.
So are you okay? So I'm a little confused. So mm-hmm. are you saying that vitamin D has been clinically proven to help the immune system or not?
You know, those are the reason I am being confusing is I'm trying to be scientific. And somebody that does not know the topic will say, absolutely, it's clinically proven.
Right.
Science does not work that way.
Okay.
So what you've got is some evidence that there is a benefit. There's a reasonable amount of evidence that areas of the world that have more sunshine seem to have lower mortalities with regard to COVID. And the one that I think is really important that you do not see in the news these days is non-European ancestry people. In other words, what you might describe as blacks, Orientals, East Indians, okay, yes. Non-white people. We know for sure that their vitamin D blood test results are far lower than for white people. And what else do we know about them in terms of COVID mortality? Yeah. They die more from it. So, vitamin D, we know that it affects the immune system. Guaranteed it affects it.
I was just going to say that I found fascinating when you were talking about we're just not meant to live in this part of the world where we have much less sunlight than, say, in the tropical areas. And I find that whole comment absolutely fascinating. And yet here we are, thousands of years of existing in the northern climes, we're still here. So
there's a whole scientific literature on that. And I might just suggest to your listeners, if you want to Google something, don't use the normal Google. go to a different website called Google Scholar. Google Scholar is the absolute best. It has less advertising, and it puts you to the primary research, not some guy's opinion that wants to sell some vitamin.
Nice. I like that. I'm going to mark that
down.
So
Google the word Google Scholar, go to that website, and then type in the things you want to find out about, because that's like going to the university library and going to the journal stacks. And yeah, lots of direct references to real science, not the stuff that somebody's writing a report about for, you know, National Enquirer or whatever.
So obviously, you know, the thing about the sun and sunlight and direct exposure and UV rays and all that stuff, I mean, we've been harped upon for years, you know, those of us who spend a lot of time in the outdoors, to cover up, make sure you don't get any direct exposure, it's harmful and this and that.
Yeah.
But very seldom, and that's why it was so refreshing when we had you on in 2015, it was so refreshing to hear an opposing view from a scientific person about sunlight. And now here we are during the COVID pandemic talking about that very same fact. And it's very refreshing. I want to ask you, Doctor, does the exposure require direct contact with sunlight onto skin, or just being in that environment suffice? In other words, can you be fully clothed, I mean, right down to your fingertips and head and everything else, but be in the outdoors? Does that have any benefit at all, or does it require direct contact?
Human biology is that we are nudists.
Right.
You know, the first human beings that, you know, arose in the Horn of Africa around Ethiopia, you know, 100,000 years ago, they are the same people biologically as we are.
Yep.
And some of us developed a skin color that became lighter and lighter as we migrated northward in the world to allow more sun penetration into the skin, right?
Okay.
You need, and you know, exposure of skin to sunshine. But given that, like, okay, we've done some research on, let's say, lifeguards in Toronto, City of Toronto lifeguards. They are given, you know, sunscreen. They're told to stay under the umbrella and keep themselves out of the sun. Okay.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you do modest sun protection. They generally don't burn. Question, have you ever seen a lifeguard without a suntan? And we've done their blood vitamin D test results. We've done their vitamin D test results.
And,
you know, when I was back to doing research, the average levels were 120 nanomoles per liter. Okay, like, I know I'm giving you a number, but the average white Canadian has a level of about 65 nanomoles per liter.
Wow, double.
Okay, so you become a lifeguard, your levels are double. Okay, the average black University of Toronto student, when we measured their vitamin D levels, 35 nanomoles per liter.
Wow.
The average African living in, you know, Kenya, Nigeria, that is practicing the traditional lifestyle, for example, Maasai, okay? You know what their average level is? 110 nanomoles per liter. It used to be that people said, you know, blacks are different. They really don't need that much vitamin D, because whenever we measure their levels, they're always low, so then they're healthy and they're fine. You compare that to what is the normal level for blacks living in the part of the world of their ancestors, and their levels are 110 nanomoles per liter, almost double the level of a white Canadian.
Wow. That's fascinating. And of course, because they are in direct sunlight pretty much all of their lives.
They have their siestas, they wear clothes. Indirect sunlight in the tropics still has ultraviolet light.
Okay.
So if you go south, you spend like I like doing a month in Barbados, you still suntan even though you avoid the sun during the midday. Because there's indirect ultraviolet light. When the sun is above 45 degrees above the horizon, there's still indirect sideways sunlight hitting you.
Okay.
You don't have to be lying on the beach.
And that's what I was alluding to earlier on, is that do we need the full exposure, direct exposure onto our skin, or can you just be in that environment where you have lots of sunlight to absorb vitamin D? And I think you just answered that question. You know?
It's a function of how much skin are you exposed. Right now I've got a long sleeve shirt, long pants, socks. My hands and face are showing. I'm exposing 5% of my vitamin D factory. at this moment. If I went out, if it was a sunny day today and lie outside, with 5% exposure, I'd only be making a little bit of vitamin D. If I put on my bathing suit, I'll probably be making at least 10 times more.
Okay.
So you wear shorts and short sleeves on a nice sunny day, and you can work in your garden under a shady tree, and you'll still be making some vitamin D because of the ultraviolet light coming in sideways. And you'll probably not burn.
I find it fascinating because I spend so much time in the outdoors, and I'm one of those rare people that I don't need to cover up. I don't need to put any lotion on. I don't need any of that stuff. I just don't burn, right? And the sun. I love being in the sun. So it's
the thing about human beings, and you look at their skin color. If you look at the skin color of a human being, you can see the latitude of their ancestors.
Yep.
And I would pose to you that those Maasai that had high blood vitamin D test results in Africa were not using sunscreen. There's no way they would afford it. It's only white people who use sunscreen. You know, dark skin is designed for sunshine.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And, what really bugs me is that darker skinned people are unfortunately suffering more from COVID than white people. And vitamin D is one of the reasons for that.
I want to talk to you about other sources of vitamin D as well during these times. But can you stay with us for a couple more minutes? We have to take a quick break.
Sure. No problem.
Dr. Reinhold Weiss on the line with us to talk to us about vitamin D and how it may help us through this pandemic. Believe it or not, spending time in the outdoors in the sunshine is a good thing. More journal after this, so you dare go away.
Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than fishingcanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com.
Welcome back, folks. Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie of only two more episodes.
Yes.
That's it. This one and next week. Gone. Forever. Never to be seen again.
You're saying I'm dead or something?
Well, I don't know. It might be. Derek Brandeo on the board, as per usual, at The Fan. And we are talking about what else? COVID-19. And the fact that there might be some inconclusive study out there somewhere that I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
That, in fact, your immune system might be supercharged by vitamin D. And vitamin D, one of the best ways to get vitamin D, of course, is to spend time in the outdoors, which I've been telling you to do for 100 years anyway, so I don't know what the big deal is. And spending time outside exposed to the sun is a great way to boost the vitamin D in your system, which in turn could strengthen your immune system, which in turn could help you through any of this COVID-19 pandemic that we're in. And talking to us about that and all things health is Dr. Reinhold Weiss, who is a scientist who is an advisor for the Vitamin D Society. All right. So, doctor, we know that now, I think we know now, that's direct contact with light, sunlight, or exposure to the outdoors is a good way to get vitamin D. But you know what? It may not be realistic for most people to spend the required amount of time outdoors to get vitamin D. So tell us about other ways that we can make sure that we've got at least the minimum required amount in our system.
Yeah, you're getting into super complicated, politically charged area, whether
good.
You believe it or not.
Good.
The recommended dietary allowance for vitamin D was designed to give your blood test result a value of about 50 nanomoles per liter, or in American units, 20 nanograms per mil. That RDA is 600 units per day. That's a typical vitamin D supplement pill. There's research that's done on outdoor workers in the United States, like truck drivers and farmers in, let's say, Nebraska, which is where the research was published from.
Yeah.
And just passive sun exposure gives you about 3,800 units of vitamin D if you're an outdoor worker. 3,800. So you ask yourself, the RDA of 600 units per day, is that going to make up for sunshine? And the answer is, of course not. Okay, so the government says you should give X amount, but sun and biology tells us that we're making, by being out in the sun, far more than that. So if you're asking me, you know, what kind of things should we do? Should we eat different foods or take supplements? My answer is take a look at what you naturally make from sunshine. And there really is not that much in food and supplements beyond the minimum that you would want.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
Well, sort of. So sunshine is where it's at. As far as vitamin D goes, you can't do any better than that. Now, how much time do we need to expose ourselves to it in order to get our daily...
Yeah. Yeah, again, that's a little bit controversial because there are six, dermatologists refer to six skin types from one to six. One is like a Scandinavian or a very pale Scottish type person. You go all the way to type six skin, which is a very dark Nigeria type skin type. But remember, that's all related to latitude where they came from.
Yeah.
Now, for me, most West Germans, like I'm from German ancestry, we're type two to type three skin. Okay, so when the UV index is about 7, like it might be on a sunny day if the sun were out today, I could lie down in my bathing suit for 10 minutes on one side and 10 minutes on the other side, you know, just happily looking up at the sun. I would not burn, and that would be a nice dose of sun.
Okay.
What I would be doing effectively with my bathing suit on at that time is giving myself 10,000 units of vitamin D. Okay.
Perfect.
And that's a context. And if they've done in the 1970s research studies on how much your blood test result goes up by going to a suntan parlor or, you know, exposing, you know, most of your body to sunshine. And, you know, that is effectively like doing 10,000 units of vitamin D. If you actually did that on a regular basis, which nobody does, your blood test result would easily be 150. Okay.
So
that,
are you...
that answer it?
Well, are you saying that in fact it doesn't have to be natural sunlight? We could get the desired effect from suntanning in one of those booths?
Oh, absolutely. It's ultraviolet light B. Ultraviolet light, of course, is a color that you don't see. Like your eyes can see about down to maybe 360 nanomoles per liter, which is purple. Yeah. And then you go beyond that purple, i.e. ultraviolet, that you don't see. First, you get UVA that causes some skin damage. And then further on down, you start to get ultraviolet light B that can penetrate and break open the cholesterol-type molecule that becomes vitamin D in your skin. So, all it needs is sunlight. And you know how vitamin D in your pill is made anyway? They take lanolin off of sheep, primarily sheep from New Zealand. The lanolin is the oil that's on the wool that they use to make sweaters. But you save that oil, send it to a factory where they expose that sheepskin oil to sunlight or to ultraviolet light artificially, and then they extract the vitamin D out of it.
Wow,
that's so very cool.
That's
so even if it's in your supplement, it was made by using ultraviolet light through artificial means.
Wow. Fascinating. It's an incredible subject. And of course, I'm blessed with the opportunity to spend most of my waking hours in the outdoors. And so I don't have any issues, but I can see where it could become a concern for people who just don't go outdoors. You know, they just don't spend time outside. And
wow.
Hopefully they're listening and hopefully they'll change their ways. And hopefully we will get out of this damn pandemic and get back outside.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Veith, thank you very much for joining us as usual. You're an absolute delight and a pleasure to have on the program. And you're welcome back anytime you've got something to tell us.
Sure. And don't forget Google Scholar. I think that's a very important website to know.
Google Scholar. And also I want to encourage people to go to vitamindsociety.org, vitamindsociety.org, and check out all the great stuff that's there. Doctor, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Reinhold Veith.
Very interesting stuff.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.